Storm damage? Call Lakeside Roofing. We've got you covered. Beware of fly-by-night storm chasers. Lakeside Roofing is family-owned and operated, serving Greater St. Louis for more than 40 years. We are committed to customer service, quality products, and outstanding workmanship, with a solid reputation of reliability and competitive prices for both residential and commercial roof systems. For a free estimate, call Lakeside Roofing at 618-344-2800 or 314-241-5253 or lakesideroofing.com. Choose experience. Choose Lakeside.
If you want screaming and complaining, change the dial. If you want sabermetrics, change the dial. But if you want some sports talk, some real-life conversation, and some fun, lock it in and sit back. It's Jay Randolph Jr. and Joe Roderick. It's The Afternoon Drive on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
And good afternoon. Welcome on in to the Afternoon Drive here on CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM and InsideSTL.com. Joe Roderick here with you. Jay coming along in just a second or two out at Normandy Golf Course. And that is where we will be till 6 o'clock tonight. Golf League starts at 5. That is when we invite you to come by at any point in the show. Come on by and hang out with us. And with the golf league starting at 5:30, you go out and you play 9 holes for $20, and then you go to Hot Shots and have the after party. They put out some apps for you. They have drink specials, and well, there's no Cardinal game tonight, but there is Game 6 of the NBA Finals. So something for you to watch this evening. Coming up on the show this afternoon, here from Normandy, Katie Kay will be joining us. I wasn't sure if she was coming right at 3 or if she was coming at 4. Not sure what time she was coming out here, but she will join us. And I understand that she has, she said she has a lot on her mind that she wants to talk about. So that'll happen at some point in the show this afternoon. Also, scheduled to join us here on site and still trying to figure out the details of it. We are supposed to be joined by MMA legend Tito Ortiz here at Normandy. He was supposed to stop by at around 4, and then they texted and said that they were looking at moving it up to about 3:15. So I'm not sure when exactly Tito Ortiz is supposed to be here, but he will be here at some point today. At least that's what I have been. That's what I've been told. So we're not exactly sure on what time Tito will be here. But Tito is scheduled to join us. Jay, we're also going to do week 2 of Joe and Jay at the Movies, as we will have Katie Walsh from the Tribune.
I like her.
Join us.
Yep.
And we have Finding Dory this weekend.
I wouldn't be familiar with that, but you may
Hudson. It's the sequel to Finding Nemo, and Hudson apparently is going to see that movie tonight.
Premiere.
He's going with my mom and dad. Tonight, it's my dad's birthday, so they wanted Hudson for a few days.
Yeah.
And they said they were going to take him to the movie. I said, God bless. Have at it. It's hard enough to keep him watching a movie.
Well, made it through that first one, didn't he?
He made it through many, but it's like a movie he'd already seen like 3 or 4 times.
Kid will be all right. Don't worry.
I think if you, like, now we kind of know the go-to movies, like, oh, that movie's on, cool. We know he'll sit through that whole movie.
Right.
That's fine. But then there's other ones where it's like, we'll get 10 minutes into it and he'll just turn and say, I don't like it.
Well,
it's okay.
Hopefully he likes it.
Cool.
This.
Not sure what I'm supposed to do at this point, but right on. So, they said, here we go. I got the text. They first asked if it at 3:15. They said they're trying to make it work, and they said that they were hustling around. I don't know. We got to find out who has Tito Ortiz right now and make
sure. H had him in the last hour.
He did?
Yeah. Tito sounds good.
He does?
Yeah.
I saw he was at Camo X earlier today with Ferrario.
Yep.
He was doing the show out there.
So he's an interesting cat. You know, I'm an MMA guy. A little late to the party, but kind of as I was getting into it, that was when Tito was at his best. And that was when he was just punishing people. After he lost to Couture and Liddell, he then won 5 in a row and beat Ken Shamrock back-to-back in UFC 61 and UFC Fight Night 6.5, and I really respect the guy and what he's doing for veterans. I know he's coming by to talk about that, talk a little bit about Bellator. He's probably, Joe, got one more fight.
You think so?
I think the way he has kind of said it is he wants to have a finale, and I'll be interested to talk to him about that. He's an interesting cat. He's done things his own way. I do want to ask him a little bit about Dana White. I know he has great respect for what the UFC has done and what the UFC did for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I know there, I think there's also some bitterness. But he's got a great situation with what he's able to do at Bellator, and he'll talk to us when he gets here.
Yeah. So it looks like they're on the, they just texted. They're asking what the trick to parking in the lot, if there's any trick to parking in the lot here.
No tricks.
Anything they need to know.
No
tricks. I said, get into the lot, turn left, drive to the clubhouse, and
absolutely,
kind of just park wherever
Casey
the hell you
made
want.
It. Come on.
Casey from, from Traffic Law Stop had to swing by. You're helping her out with a charity.
Yes, sir.
That, they, that they're doing. What is the charity that... that you're doing this for? Some sort of golf outing?
I think it's maybe
for...
Backstoppers.
Oh, okay, yeah. So you're doing the charity for the Backstoppers
Friends
there.
Friends of Dave Sinclair.
Speaking of charity, I filled out, I kind of got a bit behind on sending out prizes here the past week. I forgot to send prizes out for, well, I'm going to call it award-winning, the game we played last week, match game.
I did appreciate the fact that you said, did not say we will be doing for the second consecutive week match game.
No, it's...
We were going to get a game. It's just going to take me a little time, and then you're going to, I want, I think it's going to be finish that lyric with Plowsy. And what will happen is you'll play three songs for Plowsy.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how many of those he can finish the lyric of, and the listener will have to say, I think you'll get one right, two right, or three right.
Nice.
Okay.
I like that.
Yeah.
But look at this. So I'm filling out the gifts, the prizes for the show for the past past week.
Yeah.
And look at this. Look at
Cucky.
That is how he asked that I address the prize
as
for him.
As he should. When you reach that type of status, Cucky the Dwarf.
Cucky. So
he didn't even ask you to put Cucky the Dwarf on
there. No. He emailed me as Cucky the Dwarf, but just put, you could just sign it Cucky. So the guy has mail coming to his home.
Stevie E.
I believe he is married with two children, small children, and he has mail coming to his house addressed to Cucky.
And he put his outfit away after the Blues loss in his closet and took a video of it and posted it.
Yeah. I need to open up the text line here. I don't have that up yet. 314-880-0808. I'm afraid to open it up because we have a lawyer sitting here next to us, and the pictures that that are sent in on this text line are quite disturbing to most.
Well, she's probably in that profession. She's seen a lot of things.
Right. By the way, that's Traffic Law Stop. Traffic Law Stop. We tell you all about them every, on the weekends, but since Casey's right here right now, we might as well let you know that if you get a ticket out there driving, Jay, whether it's a speeding ticket, whether, you know, they get you for... I've been pulled over once for illegally changing lanes.
That's illegally, illegally changing lanes.
Yeah,
does that mean you didn't signal?
That's what they said. I was in East St. Louis for that one, and they pulled me over.
That was fun.
It was a female cop that pulled me over.
How'd she look?
No. You know the Leslie Jones, the woman that's in that is in the new Ghostbusters movie?
I don't know her.
Look, check her out.
Okay.
Look her up. Leslie Jones.
She
is the she is the black one in the new Ghostbusters
She's
movie.
She's the Ernie Hudson character.
Yes, she is the Ernie Hudson of the all female cast. She looks very similar to her. So I again.
Oh my. Yes. Oh my, Leslie. Yes.
So I got pulled over.
Baby got back.
I got pulled over in East St. Louis, which she said I was illegally changing lanes. I took my ticket to Casey, and they ended up just dropping the whole darn thing.
Right.
I just had to pay. I had to pay Casey a small fee to go to court and take care of it. But once that was done, they kind of got the court, and I would imagine they were like, "Yeah, this is kind of BS. You can go home. No charges."
Well, I'm glad you got out of it.
Either that, or she's just that, she's just that damn good that she went in there and argued one hell of a case.
Why not?
Yeah, they also do DUI and DWI cases too. That starts at $550. So that's Traffic Law Stop. Go to their website, figure out how to get your ticket handled from there. I've had quite a few people since I came on the last month that have reached out to me. And
well, you might as well even. I mean, here's the thing: if something happens.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a call. See what they can do.
It
doesn't hurt to make a phone call.
Jay, we are getting an awful lot of pictures sent in right now of Allison
Bree.
Bree.
Yeah.
Allison Brie. I understand that you. I understand that there
I got a phone call
this morning.
Last night, you know, people. Some people think I have a foot fetish.
That's what I've heard. Yeah,
and as you know, and most of the people that have a sense of mind,
right,
like the people that work here,
right,
they understand it's just merely a fondness, and it's not really even worth mentioning. But some of the listeners to that my favorite show,
YouTube videos would beg to differ a little bit. You say you do it for the show, though, right?
It's a show thing.
Okay,
it's for the listener, really, more than anything.
Okay,
and so John Seymour, Sea Monster, sent me a video of Allison Brie on with some English guy in a talk show with, is it Joey from Friends? What's his name?
Matt LeBlanc.
Matt LeBlanc. So
I knew that
at the end of
fast.
The interview, her feet came, discussion of her feet came up. And
was this the late show of James Corden?
I never seen a guy.
Somebody's sending me a picture of Allison Brie's foot on a table.
Yeah.
So that's, This is what we get on the text line.
And she has.
We get pictures sent into the text line.
She has really good feet. But as you know, or you may remember, the FDO, the Free Dotum Open, was here at Normandy. And I got to meet Jordan that day.
Yeah.
Listener, caller Jordan. Listener Jordan, friend of Tim Jordan, friend of Anna Marie Jordan, and Jordan was the best specimen that I've ever dealt with.
Okay.
So I give high praise to Allison Brie, again, as somebody who has a fondness.
Just a fondness.
For feet. Mm-hmm. She has really neat feet.
You want to talk U.S. Open?
What's to talk about is the weather.
Yeah.
And that's, they're in their third delay right now. And it's a very interesting leaderboard from the morning wave with the starts and the stops. And I was talking to Patrick, one of my horses here, and Patrick said that Spieth had a terrible shot when he came back after break. There's some guys that have really played poorly and maybe taken themselves out. But I think with Andrew Landry at 3 under par with one hole left to go, Joe, there's a picture right now of how things look at Oakmont. Doesn't look too good.
4 hours of delays so far.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know how much golf they're going to get into today based on what it looks like there right now. But Andrew Landry is your leader. Just a guy, but there are a lot of good guys out there that play good golf. Andrew Landry leads at 3. Bubba Watson, who played well here, is at 2 under par with Australian Danny Lee. I say Australian, also basically an American kid, former U.S. amateur champion. He's 2 under through 13. Story of the day, other than Landry so far, is the amateur, Scotty Scheffler.
Mm-hmm.
And people are going, well, who the hell's Scotty Scheffler? He is kind of following the Jordan Spieth road. Plays at the University of Texas. Was the freshman of the year a couple years ago. Is a good stick, qualified for the U.S. Open at sectional qualifying. He's low in the clubhouse at 69, then also on 1 under Kevin Streelman and Lee Westwood, still in search of his first major. Some notables to mention, Zach Johnson at even, Kuchar at +1, Bryson DeChambeau and Jordan Spieth at +1, Patrick Reed at +2, Jimmy Dynamite Walker at +3, Duffner at +3, and now we're starting to get to some scary numbers. Rory McIlroy, 4 over through 13. I know Ricky Fowler is struggling. It's been a tough go. Ricky Fowler 6 over through 12 holes, and the afternoon wave hasn't even started warming up. I mean, before the break, the tee times were going to go till about 5:50 Eastern. Now with this delay, they're probably not going to get. I mean, if they get the afternoon guys off, Joe, they're only going to get in 3 or 4 holes. So this bin's thrown off a little bit.
So you mentioned the guy, the Landry kid, that's a sophomore at Texas. And that's where Jordan Spieth came from. Jordan Spieth had the huge 2015.
Sure.
I'm trying to figure out how to pose this question.
We have towels now, Joe.
Nice.
Thank goodness.
As far as recruiting goes for the college game, the success of Jordan Spieth, how much does that help the college? And for someone like that, is that the best sport for that. Like, if you have a pitcher coming out of Vanderbilt,
right,
you're not going to have all the best pitchers go to Vanderbilt.
I think
if you have a point guard right. come out of Duke, you're not going to have the best point guards in the country all then flock to Duke.
Right. I think you've seen in college golf, Joe, you know, certainly Texas, it's been more the schools over the last 20 or 30 years, mm-hmm. really, of all, since college golf has been going. I mean, you've had Texas and Wake. Oklahoma State has been the dominant force. Georgia, Clemson, you know, it's the usual suspects. But I'm sure when these younger kids see the success that Jordan has had, I don't know that you can necessarily attribute it to Texas or their coach, John
gotcha.
Fields. But, yeah, it's got to help them. And they played really well. They may have won the NCAA championship this year. I know they got to the semifinals. It's obviously a tremendous place. And they've got, you know, the other thing is those places like Oklahoma State, the endowment that they have just toward the golf program is silly. So the amenities, the courses you play, the benefits, the tournaments you get to go to, it's a big thing in recruiting.
Yeah, so you think that they're going to get this all in by Sunday, or is this one that might trickle over?
Well, it's hard to you can get by with today. And even if you have a little bit of a situation tomorrow, you can get by. The problem, where it becomes a problem, is how long you have to wait to make the cut. Because they'll play 36 on mm-hmm. Sunday if need be. They'll do that, and they won't repair. They'll just put the guys together in the morning for the final 36 holes, and then they'll, when they get done with 18, they'll have a little lunch, kick the cat or dog, and then they'll go out and play the second 18. But we really won't know about that until tomorrow. But, you know, they knew the forecast wasn't looking good. My buddy Skip Burtmeyer is up about 2 hours away in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, playing in one of the biggest amateur tournaments in the country. And Skip just texted me. He's playing at the Sunahan Amateur. And Skip texted me, no golf today. None. Hmm. So they've cut that tournament to 54 holes.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Have you got to listen to any of the broadcast?
Yes, I have. I started this morning with the internet coverage. Jay Delsing following some of the featured groups.
I saw he was on Facebook. He was yeah. talking about some of the guys that he gets to follow.
What they're doing is they're doing featured groups, Joe. They take two or three groups in the morning, and then they put them on. You know, they have one guy follow them on the golf course, and they show all 18 holes of that group.
Jay, we are joined now, just getting here to Normandy.
Glad to have him at the Rock.
Yeah, this is a big moment for
it
Normandy
is.
Golf
no
Course.
No question.
And I would imagine the first golf course that he has visited today in St. Louis on his
media
tour. The
Huntington Beach Bad Boy is here.
We are joined by MMA legend Tito Ortiz here on the Afternoon Drive. Tito, good afternoon.
Well, yeah, I have to say this is the first time I've done an interview inside of a golf course. Usually I'm here to hit some balls, but today we get to talk about fighting.
Well, when was the last time you swung a golf club?
Probably about 4 months.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. When I get time to, you know, I go to the driving range and hit some balls, play a game once in a while. I'm not great, but I have had a hole-in-one 75-yard.
Nice.
Really?
Par three, yes.
He's tied for you for hole-in-ones, and you've been playing how many years?
A long time. I was telling Joe before the show that I got into MMA about the time that it started to really explode with you, Chuck Liddell, Randy Couture, Ken Shamrock. I mean, that was just a magical era.
Yes.
And I know that you're involved with Bellator. We're going to talk about the fight and what you do with the veterans, which is the VOW, which is unbelievable. What was that time like for you? Because there were so many really good fighters, everybody trying to be a star.
Yeah.
And you were a little different because you didn't mind speaking Tito's mind.
I said what everybody else wanted to say.
Yeah.
You know, I just really didn't have any guidelines where, you know, this is how I should do it and this is how I shouldn't do it. And I did the way I wanted to do it.
Right.
And at the end of the day, I walked away and I was proud of what I defended for. You know, there was a lot of guys who I fought against, and people said I shouldn't talk trash, but I was trying to take a page out of Muhammad Ali's book of, you know, get them so frustrated and so full of hatred that they wouldn't fight their game, and it was mental warfare, and I understood that, so that's why I talked, but I backed it up when it was fight time.
No question. You backed it up. Let's talk about the veteran situation, what you're doing, because I'm involved with this golf course, and I've seen what golf does for veterans, and the fact that, I mean, a lot of these guys, when you look at the Vietnam era when they came back, nobody was there. Nobody was there to
see this. This has been my whole thing the last couple of days. I'm doing all this radio and this television. Is we don't want another Vietnam where all these guys are coming back for more,
and nobody's doing anything.
Not doing anything for them. So I think, you know, Spike Television, Bellator, and VOW, which is Veteran Operation Wellness, getting these guys and women as soon as they come back, you know, back in to a job, you know, to normal life.
Yep.
You know, it's just, it's kind of weird unless you've been in the Army or Marines or any of the branches. You get kind of institutionalized when you're there. You're so used to exactly the same thing, the same hours, the same operation after operation. I've been to Iraq 6 times myself for USO.
So that's awesome.
I've been on the lines, not on the firing lines, but, you know, pretty damn close where we had to stay in the FOBs a few times. But how could I give back to our troops, you know? How could I be the one to give back? And Spike came about this with Val of helping vets that want to fight or just want to train or just want to stay well, stay in health. And, I mean, in MMA, a lot of these guys, they've been watching us for such a long time on, I think it's F1, the channel
yeah.
they have out there. And
they'd always go to the troops watching. They were so fired up.
Yeah, and these guys, I mean, they're on the battlegrounds. They're fighting. You know, my battleground was a cage. It was a little different. You know, it was hand-to-hand combat. But these guys do hand-to-hand combat, and they want to find that little niche to get that adrenaline rushing again. So get in the gym training. But, of course, taking care of our troops should be number one. Our government should be taking care of our troops number one. You know, and hopefully after Trump wins, they'll change it and make it happen for our troops. And I just, that's my opinion strictly. But at the end of the day, it's about the men and women who serve our country to give it the freedom that we have. What can we do to help them? And I'm very happy that Spike Television and Bellator has stepped forward and bring Val under their umbrella and making this happen for our troops.
When you work with some of the guys, when you see them training, how much of that combat training do you see just come out in that cage, and how much training do they need to learn MMA?
You know, I would say, you know, a few years, you know, 3 or 4 years, either in wrestling, kickboxing, or jiu-jitsu, or a mixture of both. In hand-to-hand combat, I know they do in the armed forces. It is jiu-jitsu. It is close quarters fighting. But it's just challenging themselves once again. They became great soldiers, so how could they become great fighters? It's just hard work and dedication that they've done through the Army or any of the armed forces, and now they're able to do it inside of a gym and hopefully motivate other vets when they come back to do the same thing.
You know, Joe, if you just said what's Tito Ortiz's record, it's 18-12.
It's a horrible record.
But
I fought the best of the best of the best.
It doesn't doesn't do it justice because there were a lot of those fights. I can remember one early on. You had a guy bloodied up, and he got lucky. There was a reset, and he got a
Yeah, it was Guy Metzger.
Well, okay, yeah, I mean, because you were crushing him.
They didn't put us back in the same position. They stopped it for bleeding, and they put us back on our feet. He ended up catching me in a guillotine choke, and it was a mistake that I had. But, you know, a lot of the other losses were split decisions. You know, I've been stopped maybe twice or three times. I've been submitted twice. It's just close fights, you know, fights that I should have won, but, you know.
Because there were so many really good fighters, and it was also in its infancy. I mean, as you went through, some of the rules changed, right?
Yes, a lot of the rules changed. You can understand, I mean, I'm not a guy who came from mixed martial arts.
You were a wrestler, right?
Complete, just a wrestler.
Right.
I knew street fighting a little bit. You know, I wasn't afraid to throw hands with somebody. But then I started learning boxing. I started learning kickboxing. And as my career started going on, you know, I got into about an 8-year stage of getting hit over and over again. I realized this is not fun getting punched in the face. So, you know, I use my wrestling a lot more by dominating a lot of the positions, but it's been a great time over the 19 years that I can look back that I've really gave it my all. I look back and I could say I can't do anything better because I gave it my all. You know,
and let me also say this, 19 years, and he mentioned Ali earlier, and I know you're a giant fan of Ali.
Yes.
But you know, this guy's been doing this for 19 years, and you have your bearings. You're still with us.
I have my wits about me. That's why I have one more match left in Bellator, and I still want to compete. I mean, I've been through 8 major surgeries. I've had ACL replaced in my left knee, 50% of my meniscus taken out of my right knee, ACL replacement on my right knee. I had L4-5 S1 fuse in my lower back. I had C6, C7 fuse, C6, C5 fuse, C5, C4 disc replacement. I've had a reattached retina in my left eye. But I'm still kicking it. I'm still doing it.
It must be the competition that drives you, because with all that, at some point, most people would have said, that's enough.
Well, you know, I have a lot of fans who look up to me, and I don't want to let any of them down, you know, and I know they're saying, you know, you've done everything underneath the sun in mixed martial arts, you're never letting us down, but I just want to show just in life in general of how much a body can take in pain, and your mind is so much stronger to get past those things, and everything I've been through in my life has been challenges, and how I accept those challenges. I've been very fortunate, very lucky through my surgeons, but it's just mind challenges that I've gone through. You know, either it was my relationship with my ex, or, you know, the fight career, or the man, or the president of the UFC talking.
You've
about
seen me. A lot.
I've seen everything and anything underneath the sun in mixed martial arts, and to be where I am today, I'm very, very thankful. I got to thank my fans. You know, I thank for Bellator signing me. You know, I got to thank UFC a little bit for giving me, you know, the opportunities that I've had, but I've never let an opportunity pass me and not take advantage of full force.
Well, and let me ask you that, because I know that you appreciate everything that UFC did for you, and I hope UFC appreciates everything Tito Ortiz did.
They don't, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the unique thing about it. It almost looks like, not knowing Dana or the inner workings, it almost like looks like if they feel like you can't do as much as you once did, that's it. I mean, and I don't understand, because you said it, the fans.
Yes.
I mean, the way people react to you, the way they react to Randy Couture, Chuck Liddell, it's a little different than the way they react to some of the guys now.
Oh, 100%. I got diehard fans. Fans are just, I mean, I have one kid, it's actually just his birthday, Jeremy, and he's been with me since the very, very beginning as a fan. He's been in my dressing room. He's walked out with me. I mean, I keep him around just because he's just one of those diehard fans that has always been there for me. And I have so many other fans that are like that, that just, and then you got the ones who hate you too. And they'll always hate me, but they don't really understand me. They just see me inside the cage, and they think that I'm that type of person. Until they meet me, I usually win them over. But
that had to be quite the transition. I mean, with social media, get into it. Because when you first started, UFC 13 was where you started.
Yeah.
There was nobody tweeting at you that you suck or you got this or anything.
They were on the underground forums of talking smack, and we call them, you know, the keyboard warriors, which is fine. And you know, I got to a point where I defend myself so much, I just waste my time defending myself, and I'm just like,
why am I doing this?
Just block these guys and move on. And since I've done that, I mean, it's been about 4.5 years that my life has changed, man. It's great to see everything in a positive environment, outlook of everything in my life. You know, I'm a father with 3 boys, and I want to give them everything I never had as a kid. You know, the love and the, you know, foundation of a great family, and I'm doing that so far. So through MMA, through my fans, I've been able to do this, and I'm very thankful.
Muting them is the way to go, though.
Yes,
don't block them. Mute them. Then they don't know that they're blocked.
Yeah, no, I just block them. I just don't give them time so they can't even say another word.
Tito Ortiz, our guest here on the Afternoon Drive. Tito, you mentioned the boys that you have.
Yes.
Now, you hear football players a lot of these days. They'll say, my son's never playing football with head injuries. They're never going to step in. How do you feel about your son stepping into the cage?
Well, I know one of them won't do it. I know the other two have ideas of doing it. I have twin boys who are 7. One of them, Journey, he kind of wants, he's not sure what he wants to do. He's wrestling right now, so he wrestled Greco-Roman freestyle and folk-style wrestling. He's actually just won the national title at 60 pounds. Then my oldest son, Jacob, who's 13, actually just turned 14, he wants to fight. So I say, what's our agreement, son? So, yeah, Dad, I know. I got to get my master's degree first. I get my master's degree, then I can compete. I was like, yep. I'm old school. You going to? He goes, I'm going to Stanford University.
Ah. Like,
all right, cool. I go, well, what's your major? He's business marketing. So I'm doing the right things, I think. And he doesn't realize it yet, but he'll be about 24 by the time he finishes his master's. He won't want to fight anymore. He realizes, I got a master's degree. I should probably use this instead of killing myself. But, you know, through collegiate wrestling, these things are going to happen. You know, either financially, I make it happen for Stanford, or he'll get the grades, and he'll be an awesome All-American wrestler who'll get a full ride. So either way.
Is that the most important thing, Tito? If you were going to start from scratch, Would you start him in the wrestling aspect first for MMA, the jiu-jitsu, the boxing?
Wrestling.
You got to have that.
There is no other athlete in the world, even mixed martial artists, that work harder than wrestlers. There is no, I mean, you understand wrestling. Anybody who's wrestled before, there's nothing tougher in it. I mean, that's one of the toughest sports in the world, and I think that's why I, you know, really progressed so well because of wrestling. I learned with the hard work, dedication, the sacrifices, you know, cutting weight, weight training, running, drilling, wrestling hard, finding the best partners out there to work with, and I was able to do that same type of idea through mixed martial arts. I've got to find the best jiu-jitsu guy, the best kickboxer guy, the best boxing guy. You know, I did all my weight training, all my health and nutrition stuff myself because I was a physical education major, so I really understood my body, which I was very lucky because as I had injuries, I was able to rehab those injuries even quicker.
Joe Rogan, good guy, bad guy?
Good guy. You know, he's
who he is.
He is who he is.
Dana White, how different is the business person from the person?
They're exactly the same person.
Are they?
He doesn't change. He just don't be on his bad side.
And everything will be okay.
Everything will be okay. And I think I've crossed that line a few times. But, it's just one of those things that Dana was my manager in the beginning before the UFC was bought by the Fertittas. And I just fought for everything that he was fighting for when he was my manager.
Right.
And he didn't like that because I knew the little insights that he was doing, and I was doing it to him, and he hated it. He likes to be right, and he wants to be the person in charge. And I understand that, and I'm the same way, too. It's like having two alpha males in the same room and saying, all right, one lead.
Yeah.
You know, we all both want to lead. So. It's just one of those things, though. Like I say, I'm thankful for all of them.
That's the cool thing. You don't have any – I mean, you say you appreciate what UFC did for you.
Yeah,
I mean, it's, you know.
And let life go on. Let life move on. I'm in a different stage of my life, you know. I'm with Bellator. They're treating me with great respect. They're working hard with me. They're giving me opportunities that I've always wanted. I'm thankful for it. And, you know, and giving back for these troops, giving back to my fans, doing the thing that makes me happy and be able to support my family the way that I want to comfortably.
Is there a way people can get involved online or do, you know, with...
Yeah, I believe it's vow.spike.com.
Okay.
That's vow.spike, S-P-I-K-E. .com.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they could get on there and help out, donate, even just raise awareness if they have anybody that are in the armed forces and their family
that wants to get involved.
And, you know, and it's, I've seen a few guys that have taken some IEDs that are still doing the training too.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're, you know, they're a little banged up, but they're still getting in there and doing it. And they still feel the same camaraderie from the guys when they're in their training. They're pushing each other, they're helping each other, and that's a great thing. Now they have an opportunity to fight on a big stage like Bellator Cage.
Who out there right now? You said you have one fight left. If you could pick your opponent, anybody, who would you want to step in their way?
You know, I want to compete against someone who has a big name, someone that everybody knows, so everybody tunes in and watches my last fight. I don't know, Wanderlei Silva. There was talk about him. There was talk about another Ken Shamrock. There was talk about a Hoyce Gracie. I mean, there's a lot of names that were thrown in there. Yeah, a little
Those
older.
Those are great names.
But mm-hmm. they're big names, you know, and I want to finish my career with a big name and just make it fun for the fans to watch and make it exciting. And one who draws first blood wins usually.
Well, Tito, we appreciate it. I know you've been I've been seeing it on social media. You the rounds that you've been making
mess around.
All throughout St. Louis the past 2 days. So we really appreciate you coming by here today and joining us.
Yeah, they say you got to work hard now for the future, and I've been doing this now for 19 years, and I don't slow down, I don't stop. I want to give my best and the most professional way I can do it, and Bellator's giving me that opportunity.
Well, we will, Tito, we thank you very much for coming out here to The Rock. We are going to take a break. When we come back, Joe and Jay go to the movies. Katie Kay also just showed up, so she's going to jump in with us as well. This is The Afternoon Drive on CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM 920 AM and InsideSTL.com.